Good morning. Today's Daf and Durim Nun Vav. We are starting today at the Mishnah on top of the Amud. Here we are in the seventh parak of the Masechta, and continuing along our discussions of what is included in your neder. You make neder, and you are not going to be benefiting from certain items. So those items mean what exactly? So you probably heard me say this before. I get to say it again, and that is that when it comes to nedarim, holchana chaloshim bnei adam. So what we're going to do is we're going to follow what is generally accepted usage of the word. Accepted usage of the word is going to be a function of time and place. So when you live and where you live is going to be the two chief criteria in terms of defining words. So you live in a community and the word is generally associated with this definition. So that's the definition as it relates to neder. Why? Because the neder is obviously a reflection of what your intention is. And that intention is going to be clearly articulated through the words that are commonly used. So when it comes to a neder, so everything is going to be a function of Lashem Bnei Adam. So here we are in the Mishnayos in the seventh parak. We did this back in the sixth parak, and we're going to do this now again in the seventh parak. And that is that we're going to find definition. Okay, it's a little bit like reading a dictionary, but it's a little more exciting than that. And the best part of it all is it's Torah. In other words, with every line of the Gemara that we're learning, so it's a chelik of Torah. And despite the fact that we're giving definitions of words as they were in the second century. Second century, Eretz Yisrael. But nevertheless, this is all part of Torah Shabbat Pet. It's all part of our Mesorah. And so let's get underway. The Mishnah starts off, Anodim and Abayis. So you make a neder. And that is that you're not going to go into a house. Now, probably over here, you're pointing to a particular house. I'm not sure if this neder is going on houses in general. But regardless, in other words, what's included in the house? Okay, a lot of this discussion, by the way, should sound a little bit familiar in Baba Basra. We have a similar discussion in terms of sales. When you do a sale, those people that are involved in real estate, so you get this all the time, and that is what's included in the sale and what's not included in the sale, right? Furniture and large appliances, are they included in the sale? Are they not included in the sale? So everything really is going to be a function of what is generally the accepted language that's used to include them, not include them. So over here, we're talking about bias. I'm making a neder on a bias. So over here, this is not commercial activity. That's Baba Basra. Over here, we're talking about now what is bound, what is exactly going to be bound by my neder? Which parts of the house are going to be bound by the neder? So I know them and a bias, mutar b'aliyah. So when you make a neder on bias, so according to Rabbi Meir, so that does not include the aliyah, doesn't include the second floor. Why? I know this is going to sound funny, but second floor is not grounded. In other words, when you say bias, so what your intention was, again, all this is unspecified. So your intention was is that you want part of the house that's connected to the ground. The second floor, obviously, without a first floor, there's no second floor. I get to say that today.
How are you going to go up there without going to
a bottom? You get a ladder.
A ladder?
Yeah, get a ladder.
On the outside?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Right, or trampoline, I say, with no degree of seriousness. But in other words, you'll get up there. Okay, so I know them not bias mutar b'aliyah divrei Rabbi Meir. So according to Rabbi Meir, so when you make a neder on the bias, that's only going on the first floor, and so therefore the second floor is not going to be bound by that neder. V'chachamim omrim aliyah b'chalal bias, and the chachamim say no. That stam the word bias is going to include the first floor. It's going to include the second floor as well. Okay, so in other words, so we have a machlokus again. It's a funny machlokus in that what we seem to be arguing about is what is lashem b'nei adam, what isn't lashem b'nei adam. So I don't know, you've heard me say this before. I don't fully understand how to make sense of how we have machloksim on what are and what aren't lashon b'nei adam. Okay, fine. Hanoder min aliyah mutar b'bayis. Now, we're going to hear a lot of this in that a aliyah is included in bayis, but let's say my neder was on aliyah, I don't want to go to the second floor. And so I say in my neder, I don't want to have hanah from the second floor. So everyone's in agreement that when you say aliyah, so you're not including bayis. Okay, so machlokus as to whether or not the word bias includes aliyah, but no machlokus as it relates to whether aliyah includes bias. It certainly does not. Okay, good. So,
In those days, they didn't have a gawash. Lashon today, if you have a gawash, it would not be included.
Okay. Yeah, again, right, everything would be a function of time and place. So, right, how would this translate by us and the way we describe houses and what's included and what's not included? So, you're a little bit in real estate. In other words, I'm sure you hear this all the time. All the time. So Mantana Babai Slarabo Babai's Larabo says Aliyah. Okay, so who is the author of the following Brysa? Now this Brysa is relevant to Nige Batim. So negaim, so as far as tzaras is concerned, so three things can be afflicted by tzaras. You, the person, your clothing, and your house. Okay? And there are three parshios in the Torah in succession in Vayikra that deal with the tzaras of your body, of your clothing, and your house. And, by the way, present in the Torah in that order. Right? And there's Rashi over there, and the Chumash Rashi says that first it afflicts your house, and if you don't get the message, then it's going to afflict your clothing. And if you don't get the message, it's going to afflict your body. So, but the way the Torah presents it is that first is body, then clothing, then house. Okay, in the parsha of Negaim that afflict a house. So the Torah says, Babayis. So what is going to qualify, what constitutes the ras of the house? So, Lerambo says the Yitziah. So even if we're talking about a protrusion of the house. Okay, in other words, some sort of balcony or whatever, some extension of the house. Okay, the Ran entertains a different gears than the Gemara over here. Not Yitziah, but rather Tzavua. You could see the Gemara also entertains such a gears as well. We'll just go with the gears that we have in our Gemara. Anyway, the point of the Brisa over here is that if you see a nega tzaras, a discoloration of tzaras, even if it's not on the house proper, but some sort of extension that comes off the house, that also qualifies as tzaras. And Babayis, the Rabba says Aliyah, and Babayis is also coming to include Aliyah as well. So that means to say that if you have a second floor and you have a discoloration of Tzaras on your second floor, anywhere in the second floor of the house, that also will qualify as Nigei Batim. Okay, good. That's the Braisa. And now obviously where the Gemara is going with this is, so I need a Drasha to come and to include even the second floor. Oh. So what's the default? So when you have a drasha, that means that the drasha is taking us away from the default. So the default now is going to be that bias does not include the second floor, and only because I have a drasha of bias, so therefore the second floor is included. Okay, so now that you heard all that, so who is the author of this brisa? That's exactly the Gemara's question. So I'm Rav Chista, Rabbi Meir. So Rav Chista says, I'll tell you who it is. It's Rabbi Meir. Because remember, what did Rabbi Meir say? Remeir says that when you make a neder on bais, it doesn't include the second floor. Ah, perfect. So in other words, so I have the bais over here that tells me you're right. The default is that bais is only the first floor. The second floor only can come about via ribui. It only can come about through a drasha. So the Gemara said, because if we're going like the Chachamim tells us that the word bais by itself already includes the second floor. I don't need a drasha. Drasha is unnecessary. So therefore, the author of the Braisa must be Reb Meir. Ah. So Abai Amar Afila Tamer Rabbanan. So by a crop. So and the Gemara says counter argument and credit to Abaye for offering the following counter argument that no, the author of the Braisa could even be going like the Chachamim. Desakadat Chamina Babayis Eretz Achuzas Chem Ksiv De Mechaber Ba'arish Mei Bayis Ali Alo Mechaber Ba'ara. Because here's what I would have thought. Look at the pasuk as it describes the house that is suffering from the tzaras. It says, Bebeis Eretz Achuzaschem. So over here, there is a connection between bias and Eretz, which means that maybe bias in general, if unspecified, is first and second floor. But when it comes to the bias of tzaras, the Torah says, Beis Eretz Achuzaschem, connecting it to the ground, which now limits it only to the first floor. That's what I would have thought had we had not had the drasha. So that means to say, it's like almost like three steps over here. Meaning bias in general is floors one and two. But the bias as it relates to the tzaras house is only floor number one because it says base eretz achuzaschem. That would be step number two. And then step number three is that we have a drasha that gets us that no, that because it says ba bias, it includes even the second floor as well. So, bebeis eretz achuzaschem ksiv de mechaber barash me bais aliyah halo mechaber bara. Okay, good. That's why in this particular case I need the drasha, but outside of that I don't need the drasha. And then of course it begs the question, meaning we could just skip all those steps. Meaning if the word bais by itself means floors one and two, why would the Torah give us now reasons to indicate that over here it only refers to the first floor, even though in general it refers to the second floor, but over here it refers to the first floor, and therefore I need another drasha to get me back to the second floor. It sounds like a lot of work to get us back to our default, our baseline. Okay, and good, and something worthwhile thinking about. But anyway, we're going to continue. So what do we have right now? We have a machlokus, a tanayim. When you say make a neder from bias, is that including the second floor, yes or no? According to Rameir, no. According to the Chachamim, yes. We had a brisa regarding tzaras. Who's that brisa going like? And we argue that it sounds like it's going like Rebbe Meir, but it could also be going like the Chachamim as well. So, let's say the following. You have a sale. Now, I said when we did the Mishnah, it sounds a lot like Baba Basra. Over here, this doesn't sound like Baba Basra. This is Baba Basra. So over here, we're having a transaction, a sale of property. And buys BBC and Imochalach. And so here's how the contract reads. So the sale contract reads, I'm going to be selling you one of my houses. Okay. Granted, by the way, typically speaking, when a person buys a house, it's going to be a little bit more detailed in terms of where's the house exactly? Right? Buys BBC is not normally how you're going to be writing up a contract. But, okay, new. A person wants a house. Not really specific about which kind of house it is. And so the contract reads, Bais Bebesi. Okay, so one of my houses. So Bais Bebesi Ani Mochalach Mari Aliyah. Okay, so here's what I can do now. So when he comes, I can say, okay, good. New, what did I buy? And what I could do is I could show him the second floor. Okay, enjoy. What? I'm sorry, what? Yeah, in other words, there were the contract read Bais Bebesi. And so all I got to do is give you some residence. So I'm giving you the second floor. Okay, good. So time adarmalai baisha bebesi animochalach avabaisam inamare aliyah. So the Gemara says, okay, now, only because he said bais bebesi, which now would implicate that if I just said the word bais by itself, so then you can't show the second floor. So the avabaisam inamare aliyah. So, and then that would be what? That would be the position of Rabbi Meir. So once again, we have, now this is not a Braisa. It's a Memra. Going back to Ula. But still, the point is still the same. That Ula over here is following whose Shita? Sounds like he's following Rabbi Meir's Shita. When you say Bais Bebesi, so then you can show the second floor. But if you say the word Bais by itself, so then contractually, you must be selling a first floor unit. Okay. And it sounds like he's going like Rabbi Meir. So, Lema Rabbi Merhi, and the Gemara is kind of asking it a little bit incredulously, meaning we have a machlokus in the Mishnah between Rameir and the Chachamim. Typically speaking, who do you think we're going to side with? You think we're going to side with Rameir? More probably, we're going to side with the Chachamim. And the Chachamim say that the word bias includes first and second floor. So, the implication over here that if I say the word bias, it's only first floor, not second floor, is going like Rameir, not going like the Chachamim? The Gemara says that's a little off. It's a little strange. So the Gemara says, okay, good. I feel it him Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, no. It could even be that's going like the Chachamim. My Aliyah Mu'ula Shebebatim. So the Gemara says, because here's how could be understood. When you said the word Aliyah, so what you meant is Mu'ula Shebebatim. What it meant is the best of houses. So that means to say, that over here, the Aliyah could be understood. Not as first floor versus second floor, but basically qualitatively. In other words, I'm giving you a better piece of real estate. That's how it could be understood, and it could be that he's even following the shita of the Chachamim and not just the shita of Rabbi Meir. Okay, good. Adkan. Okay, so it takes us to the end of our first sugya of today. So you make a neder from the bayis. So does that include the second floor? Yes or no? It's a machlokas tanayim. We litigated both a braisa and a memra of ula. Is the braisa and the ula going like Rabbi Meir? Could it even be going like the chachamim? Ultimately, the answer is going to be yes on both. And then the other point in the Mishnah is that if you say aliyah, for sure aliyah is second floor, and it doesn't include the first floor. And that everyone agrees to. Hanoda min amita. Okay. Now, you're done with beds. Okay. So you're making an edda that you're not going to be getting any benefits from beds. Okay, well, again, what's motivating the individual, right? One of those unanswered questions throughout the Masechta. I don't know what he has against beds. Beds are excellent. Certainly makes sleeping a lot easier. But that's it, though. Hanoda min amita. Makes an edda that he's not going to be getting benefits from beds. And so, muta b'dargish div Rabbi Meir. So, according to Rabbi Meir, so you could use a dargish. Now, if you don't know what a dargish is, so hang around the daf long enough, and you're going to be hearing this discussion again and again and again. Okay, the Dargish discussion comes up here, comes up in Shabbos, it comes up in Moed Katan. Okay, numerous times in throughout Shas, so we get to talk about a Dargish. Today's no different. Here I'm going to show you an exciting run in just a moment in terms of getting our heads wrapped around a Dargish in terms of what exactly it is. But anyway, so, but if I make a neder against bed, so now I could use the dargish. I'm allowed to, according to Rabbi Meir. And the Chachamim Amrim, dargish bechlal mita. And the Chachamim say, no, the dargish is a bed. The dargish is a bed. And if you make your neder against beds, so including that is also going to be the dargish as well. Right? You, by the way, I hope everyone is hearing the theme of today's daf. In other words, when I make a neder against a general item, so Reb Meir says it doesn't include the more unusual variations of it. And the Chachamim say, no, it does. And then, what if I go in the opposite? What if I make a neder against the unusual variation? Well, that's the next part of the Mishnah. So, hanoder min adargish mutar b'mita. Ah, so here, no one argues. If my neder is against the dargish, what I'm allowed to do is I'm allowed to use the mita. Because my neder was only against the unusual version of it. So, what is a dargish? Right now, we could say it's an unusual bed. We'll get better definition in just a moment. But clearly the dargish is something which is a variant version of a bed. Not much different than the second floor being a variant version of the house. Meaning the house is the first floor, right? What's the second floor? Oh, it's a little bit of a more unusual version of it. Some people have it, some people don't have it. Okay, so the same thing regarding a dargish. My dargish. So the Gemara immediately opens up with a simple question. What is a dargish? So Amar Ular said to God, so Ula gives a most interesting explanation of what a dargish is. You know what it is? It's your good luck bed. Now, I hope you heard me correctly. I try to articulate. It's a good luck bed. You have a bed for good luck. Look at the Ran over here, Arsa Degada. The Ran you're going to find together with me, three lines from the bottom of the Amud. Now, Hagana Yulatzia Mita Lamazal Abais. Okay. There was a minhag, and that was is that you would make a bed in your house for mazel, for good luck. Okay, in other words, right, it doesn't sound like our religion, you know, on the birthday cake, right? We all know the minhag. So on the birthday cake, so what do? You put one more candle in for good luck. Okay, good. So, right, is that okay? Is that not okay? Yiddishkeit allow that or not allow that? Halacha, what does halacha have to say about it? Actually, halacha has to say about cakes in general and candles in general as to whether or not that's a Jewish practice. But regardless, however, right now we're going to stay with beds. And so once upon a time was a minute to put up a good luck bed. And now, first of all, the Ran, I'm reading on in the Ran. So Gada Mazel. So first of all, the word Gada. Gada is an Aramaic word. It means Mazel. Okay, so we heard that word already in Sidra. Meaning if you've been following the Parshios and we go back to Parshios Vayetze. So after Leah had her four children. So then what happened was is that she stopped. Rachel had a couple of children through Bilhah, and so Leah said, okay, so now I got to forward my shivcha, my maidservant, and we're going to have children as well. And she does. And she has a child, and her child, the first child she named is God. And you look at Rashi over there in Chumash, and Rashi says, you know what the word God means? Rashi actually gives, if I'm not mistaken, Rashi gives three different interpretations of the word, of the name God. One of the interpretations is good luck. So it's mazel. It's good luck. It's one of his explanations. The word God in Aramaic means good luck. So, the Ran continues. So, mitala mazel, abayis gada mazel, v'damalo beso perik bameh. Isha yotza, gad gedi, usanukla. Okay, whatever the Gemara in Shabbos talks about. The word God in the context of having good luck. Okay, so you set up a bed for good luck. Now, right, this sounds a little bit strange, by the way, because, in other words, this is our religion, meaning we're describing Yiddishkeit right now, where basically, you know, I need some more mazel in my house. You know what we'll do? So we'll set up a bed. No one's sleeping on that bed. In other words, it's our good luck bed. I know it sounds strange. And meanwhile, the Gemara discusses this dargish all the time. And consistently, Ula always gives this interpretation that the dargish is a good luck bed. Okay. What's it called? My chavrus and I this morning went through the Shita Mekubetzes over here on the Gemara. In other words, if you want to see more, so see the Shita in today's daf in terms of a little bit more on this discussion of whether or not our religion allows for such practices. According to Ula, it's a non-starter, meaning yes, it does allow for it. But then to understand, like, when is it Darche Amori and when is it superstitious versus when is it perfectly acceptable? And it's above my pay grade to really understand and be able to delineate when it's okay and when it's not okay. But what I can do, in other words, and you know, this is the easy part of my job, is I could just follow the Gemara, right? In other words, the Gemara says they're setting up a good luck bet is fine. Yeah, it's fine. Okay, good. So I could say it's fine because the Gemara says it's fine. After that, however, I'm not that useful. So anyway, so my dagash am ula arsa degada. Okay, so according to Ula, so the dagash is a good luck bed, and now we go back to our Mishnah, just plug it into our Mishnah. Meaning, what do we learn in our Mishnah? That if I make a neder against beds in general, so according to Rav Meir, yeah, that's in other words, those are the conventional beds that everyone uses. Oh, but the dargish, that you're allowed to use. Okay, why? Because it's not a conventional bed. Okay, good. And what the Chachamim will argue in the Mishnah is that no. In other words, I know it's not a conventional bed, but you know what it is? It's called a bed. And so therefore your neder is going to include it. Okay. So Amrle Rabban Le'ula, so now we go on the attack. Meaning Ula's definition of dargish is a good luck bed. And the Gemara says, I don't know if you're right over here. I did not. So let's take a look over here at the Mishnah Sanhedrin. The Mishnah Sanhedrin talks about what happens when the king is an avel. So when anyone's an avel, so what does that mean? It means that after the cemetery, they're going to go home and sudas havra. A meal is going to be provided by friends and neighbors. And basically, that's called the sudas havra. That first meal is going to be provided by others. It's basically, it's a support session where everyone's going to be giving them food. Okay, so the but over here, how do you do that with the king? So Kishain Mavrin Oso Kola'am Mesuban Al Arts Vahu Mesav Al Adagish. So the so that means to say that everyone's going to be sitting on the ground, and the king. Now the king typically should be sitting on the ground, but he's a king, and he can't be sitting on the ground. So he's in a funny place right now, where for him to be sitting on a normal chair, that's not appropriate because he's an avel. But for him sitting on the floor, that's also not appropriate. He's a king. Okay, so we're going to have this like kind of like a middle position. It's literally over here, middle ground. And that is, he's going to be sitting on the dargish. So the Gemara goes on to explain, Kula shasa lo yasev alah, ha uyuma yasev alah. So, and yeah, in other words, year round, he's not sitting on it. But now he's going to be sitting on it, so it's strange, it's unusual. So maskal ravina midida havi abasavia inda kula shasi yibay achel viyibay lo achel. So the, so Ravina says, look, how much different is it than wine and meat? In other words, wine and meat year round, so it's optional. Meaning you don't have to eat wine meat year round. In other words, it's totally optional. So yuma ananyavina lay, and so and it happens to be that today we're going to give it to him. In other words, on the suda savra, so you're going to provide wine and meat, right? The Gemara Moi Katan talks about how much wine we're giving to the avel. Okay, a lot, right? In fact, it went a little bit overboard, right? As per the Gemara Moi Katan. But the point is that when it comes to wine and meat, year round, it's optional. And today the minig is to give it to him today. Same thing with the dargish, year round. You want to sit on it? That's fine. But in other words, it happens to be that today, that's where he's going to sit on. Simply because again, we don't want him on the floor, but we don't want him on a regular chair. So Ella Akasha Ditanya Dargish Laya Kofeo Ella Zokfo. So the Gemara says, okay, here's what I'm bothered by, and that is the following. We have a halacha by an avo called Kfiya Samita, and everyone will be forgiven if you're not familiar with this minug, right? If you learn the Gemara Moi Katan, you'll know about the minug, but otherwise, if you go to a base avel, you will not see it done in practice. And that is that what they used to do is take the beds and turn them over, flip over the beds. Okay, so this is an ancient minug when it comes to an avel. The Gemara Moi Katan describes it as one of the nihugi avelus, and everybody would take their bed and flip it over. What's the significance? What's the symbolism of flipping over the bed? So the Gemara is not totally clear about it. You'll forgive me. I don't remember the exact lashon of the Gemara over there. But basically, the bed is where people are created. And over here, we have a loss of life. So therefore, the flipping over the bed is symbolic of the fact that a life was lost. Okay, so and in the house, so you would flip over all beds. That's the minhag. It's an ancient minhag. So this minhag is not done nowadays. It's fair to ask the question, why isn't it done nowadays? Meaning, if this is an ancient minhag that the Gemara here, the Gemara in Moi Katan advocates that an avel needs to do, so what exactly happened to the minhag? So first of all, we don't do it anymore. Let's just simply state the facts. Why we don't do it anymore? So there's a couple of suggestions that are made. Probably the most popular suggestion is that It invites a lot of strange speculation in terms of what the Jewish people are doing. Meaning it looks weird, and probably it invited a lot of not just curiosity, but in other words, the Jewish people are up to something if they're flipping over their beds. Okay. Anyway, obviously I don't have wonderful explanations of where the minhag went, but the minhag is gone. Anyway, the point of all this now is that Dargish Laya Kofeya Ela Zogfo. So with the Dargish bed, so in other words, when it comes to the standard bed, it would be flipped over. But when it comes to the Dargish bed, it wouldn't be flipped over, but rather would be turned upright. 90 degrees. So via Mardarsa de Gadahu. So the Gemara says, now, if Ula, you're right, what is a bed? So according to Ula, it's a standard bed. It just happens to be a good luck bed. No one typically sits on it. But according to Ula, that's what it is. So the Gemara says, "Va'atanya kofes mitaso lo mitaso bavadhu kofe ala kol mito sheishol besoch habayitu kofe." And meanwhile, the halacha kfias amita is required for every bed in the house. Okay, so Ula, your interpretation of the word dargish is that it's a standard bed; it just happens to be set up as a good luck bed. Okay, so if that's true, so then what should we do in a beis avel? We should flip it over, right? So the Gemara says, "Halokasha." So the Gemara says, I'm not sure if that question really bothers me. So So the Gemara says, can't we compare this to a bed that is designed for your utensils? And meanwhile, the halach is that if I have a bed, but I don't use a bed for sleeping, and I'm using it for storage and for putting utensils on it, so then it doesn't need to be flipped over. The flipping over of a bed is only for a bed that's typically used for sleeping. Okay, so now Ula's pshat is defended. The dargish is a good luck bed. We don't flip it over. Yeah, because you don't have to flip it over because it's not meant for sleeping. It's not used for sleeping.
Is the dargish like a kisei aliyah?
So so there is that comparison that's made. That it's something similar to that. Okay, but no. In other words, according to Ula, it's a bed. It just happens to be that. In other words, it's set up for good luck. That's all. So Ella, and I know that sounds strange. All right, acknowledged. Totally acknowledged. But that's Ula's understanding. So Ilakasha Hakasha Detanu Shem Gamla Amar Dagish Matir Karvi Sav Vuhu Nofel Me'elav. Okay, now according to Shem Gamliel, so what do I do with the dargish? Do I untie it? Now, in terms of untying the bed, so it'd work out a little bit better if we understood what beds looked like back in the days. So, in other words, beds are start off with a frame. In other words, we also have that. So we have a frame also with our beds. But then what we have is this really fancy mattress that we put on top of the frame, and good. And so we live in luxury, as we all know. But back in the good old days, so what you do with the frame is the following, and that is basically you would weave. Either over the frame or through the frame. And basically what you would do is you would lie on top of the weave. Okay? And what do you weave? So typically it was cloth. Sometimes it was leather. Okay, so back in the good old days, it was like a cot. A hammock, a cot. Okay, so so that was their beds back then. And over here, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, again, this is back to Moed Katan, and this is back to what an Avel does. So what does the Avel do? Matir Krivatav. So what you're going to do is you're going to untie the weave, okay? And it's just basically going to fall down. In other words, the weave is going to collapse. Now, so the Gemara says, now, if Ula's right, so what is a dargish? It's a bed. It's a standard bed. It just happens to be set up as a good luck bed. So over here, why is Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel giving this like unusual description of, here's what you're going to do, you're going to untie it, it's going to fall, meaning why don't we just treat it like a standard bed? Because according to Ula, that's what it is. It's a standard bed. So the Gemara says, "Kiasa Ravin Shelti Lahu Me Rabbanu V'Rav Tachlifa Bar Ma'arva Shmei Davishchich B'Shukad Etzalei." So it happens to be that I asked somebody who happened to have been, I was going to say, in the bedding industry. That's a bit of a stretch. It's not, in other words, but he knows his beds. And my dargish arsa detzala. And so I asked him what a dargish is, and he gives me now another pshat. Meaning, basically, the Gemara acknowledges that Ulus Pshat is a little bit difficult to defend. And so over here, now we're going to be offering our second Pshat of what a Dargish is, and that is Arsa Detzala. What is Arsa Detzala? So the Ran says that it's a bed that's held up by leather. In other words, instead of the usual weave that's made up of some sort of cloth, so the Dargish bed is made up of leather straps. So that is our second interpretation of what a Dargish is. It marizu mita vezu dargish amar virmi amita misaginoso al gaba. Dargish misaginoso migufo. And so over here, the Gemara now goes over what is going to be the defining differences between a mita and a dargish. A mita, the straps go over the frame. And when it comes to the dargish, the straps go through the frame. Okay, if it happens to be that you have pictures over here, it's not that hard to envision. In other words, when it comes to a standard bed, so we're going to be looping the weave over the frame. Okay, good. But when it comes to the dargish, so the weave is you're gonna make holes through the frame and you're gonna weave it through the frame. Okay, so meisvei klei eitz mamasai mekablam tuma. So we're gonna be bothered based on the Mishnah in Kalim. The Mishnah in Kalim. So everyone knows. First of all, I haven't gone through all the Mishnahs in Kalim. Not proud of it, but 30 parakim. Right, I have no good excuse. But anyway, so the Mishnahs in Kalim basically do the following. We know the halacha is that when does the kli mekabel tuma? When it's the finished product. And so the Mishnayos and Kalim go through every conceivable utensil and when is it viewed as a finished product. Okay, so you really have to know production, you have to know Kalim, you have to know production, you have to know how things are manufactured. Kalim is a very technically oriented mesechta. And with that stated, so over here we're learning a Mishnah regarding when is exactly the finishing of a bed. A bed is a kli. And even though it's made out of wood, and even though typically speaking the wood, when is it mekabel tuma? When it has a toch, but that's true, but like with every good rule, there are exceptions, and the bed is no exception to that. And that a bed, even though it's made out of four beams, but nevertheless, in other words, what it does is it makes a functional bed. A bed is a keli, and therefore it's going to be mekabel tuma. And when exactly is it going to be mekabel tuma? So the Mishnah tells us. So, kli eitz me'emasai mekabel tuma mita v'arisa. So when it comes to the mita v'ha'arisa, so basically a bed and I guess you can call it a crib, whatever the case is, mishia shifam or a dog. When you sand down the frame of the bed, back in the good old days, so how would they sand it down? That sounds so smart. And that is that they would take the skin of fish, in other words, the scaly side of the skin of fish, and basically use it as sandpaper in order to sand down the wood. Okay. Now, vi'i mita mista regas agaba lamili shifas or a dog. So the Gemara says, okay, now, if what you're arguing is that when we're weaving the bed, a standard bed, so the weave is going over the frame, so I don't need to smooth out the wood. In other words, the wood is going to be covered by the weave. So ella hava hamigufan. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're gonna change our definition. Both a standard bed and a dargash. So they're both going to be woven through the frame. So in other words, part of the frame is going to be exposed, and that's why the wood of the frame has to be sanded down, and they're both going to go through the frame. So now what we have to do is try to articulate what's the difference between the two. We know there's a difference, because one's called the mita and the other is a dargish. So they're different. We also know that the mita is made out of some sort of cloth weave, and we know the dargish, at least according to this new interpretation, is made out of a leather weave. So what's the difference? So hava hamigufan, mita aule v'afuke, bibizine dargish ulav afuke ba'avkata. And over here, in terms of how exactly it is woven, over here I'm going to tap out in terms of my understanding of the Gemara, in terms of understanding what exactly is the difference between the different ways in which it's woven. All I could say simply, even though I don't have full understanding, is that they're woven a little bit differently, one over the other. In other words, the material that's used is differently, and the actual way it's woven is going to be different as well. Okay. So what do we have so far? In other words, this happened to have been a pretty lengthy discussion in the Gemara over here, but it all goes back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said when a person makes a neder not to get benefit from a bed, so does that include the dargish? It's a machlokas tanaim between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Rav Meir says it does not. The Chachamim says it does. And then a simple question, which the Gemara has spent an amud discussing, and that is, what's a dargish? It's such a simple question. So we know it's a non-conventional bed. That part we know. But what exactly is it? So the Gemara is offered two pshatim in today's daf. Ula's pshat, that is, it's a standard bed, but designed not for sleeping, but rather for good luck, right? It's a arsa degada, a bed used for mazel, for good mazel. And the other interpretation of the Gemara is that it is a bed, but it's non-conventional because it's made out of leather straps and not your standard fabric weave. Okay, good. Takes us through most of today's daf. A little bit more before we get to the next Mishnah. Amar Rav Yaakov Bar Acha, Amar Rabbi Mita Shenaklita Yotzin Zokfa V'Diyal. So let's say you have a bed with a canopy, but not your standard four-post canopy, a two-post canopy. So basically what happens now is that you are going to have a canopy, but it's coming down on angles on both sides. Good. So, right, if you have a picture, you can see it so clearly. And so over here, can you turn it upside down? Of course you can't turn it upside down. In other words, if you turned it upside down, you would be balancing it on its two poles. You can't do that. So what do you do? In other words, you have this ancient minhag of kfiyas hamita, of overturning the beds. So how do you do it? So the answer is very simple. And that is 90 degrees. In other words, you can't flip it over, so you just simply turn it 90 degrees. I'm Rav Yaakov Baridi, I'm Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Halacha Kerev Shimon ben Gamliel, and the Gemara says that the halacha is in fact like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Which Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel? The one that we referenced earlier. That when it comes to beds, you have to flip all the beds in your house. Unlike the Dargish, where all you have to do is just simply untie it, and that would be sufficient. Okay, Hanoder min Ha'ir. Okay, continuing now in the Mishnayos and finishing up today's daf. So no Dimanair, right? I'm not headed back to that city, right? I went to that city, didn't like it, making a neder, and I'm not going to get benefit from that city. So now he's bound by the neder not to go into that city. So classic discussion. What does that mean? So mutali kanas le tchum shel ir vasal kanas le ibura. So can you go within tchum of the city? Yes. Tchum is after the city limits 2,000 amos past that. Good. So typically back in the good old days, it's easy because the city was bound by a wall. So in other words, once I pass the wall of the city, so then I can go an additional 2,000 amos on Shabbos. So that is what's called tchum. So when I make a neder, so even though I'm allowed on Shabbos to walk up to tchum, but when I make a neder, so tchum is not considered part of the city.
Would this be according to Akiva also?
Again, over here, we're talking about Nedarim. So... There may not be, right, so there may not be an overlap between what qualifies as part of your neder and what qualifies in terms of, you know, the Tchum Shabbos being a derabbanan versus a deraisa. It could be that the two may have no connection. Okay. But what you cannot do is you can't go into the Ibur Ha'ir. Okay. So literally, Ibur means the pregnancy of the city, but that, of course, makes no sense. What is that? So that's a reference to the following. So immediately after the city... So you have now 70 amos, that's 70 and two-thirds, which qualifies as what's called ibura shel ir. Okay, it's like almost like an easement of the city. It's not a precise definition, but in other words, that is considered part and parcel of the city, right? We learned back in Erevin that, let's say, for example, that you have this ibur ha'ir of 70 amos, and it happens to be that it overlaps like a Venn diagram with another city and its Ibur, so the two cities now can be joined and qualify as one city. Good. So in other words, the Ibur Ha'ir is absolutely part of the city. So, Tchum of the city is not considered part of the city, so what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to walk within the 2,000 amos of any given city if you made a neder from that city. However, what you can't do is you can't go to the Ibur Ha'ir, meaning once you're up to the 70 amma area right before the city limit, so then, now you can't go. That now is incorporated within your neder. Right? I'm not sure about that. Now, if you make a neder from a bias, so what you cannot do is that you can't go mina aga v'lifnim. You can't go from the door frame inward. Now, minalan d'ibru d'masa kamasa. So the Gemara says, okay, dummy. So first of all, this idea in the Mishnah, which the Mishnah seems to just accept without no qualification. And that is that this Ibur Ha'ir, 70 amas within the city, is considered the city. So I'm Rav Yochanan, I'm a Kravi, he be Yoshua be Yericho. Now, look, we'll just take a look at Psukim in the Navi. And again, it's confusing because we're following Lashem B'nei Adam, and we use Psukim in Tanakh to tell us what Lashem B'nei Adam is. Okay, so, right, I'm highlighting, it's hard to follow, like when Navi informs us what is Lashem B'nei Adam, And when the Gemara says, no, don't give me psukim in Tanakh, because we're talking about Lashon Bnei Adam. Okay, so I admit it's confusing. I'm confused. So Vayhi Biyos Yeshua B'Yericho. So Yeshua is in Yericho. Now, of course, we know he wasn't in Yericho. Yericho was surrounded by a wall. Yeshua was outside the city. So how can the Navi say that he was in Yericho? That's exactly the question. My Yericho ilam Yericho mamish vaksi Yericho sogeres umus geres elish mamina biibura. So it must be that he was right outside the wall. But right outside the wall means that he was within the 70 amas of the city, and that qualifies as being part of the city. So the Gemara says, okay, why can't we make the following argument? How do I know where he was outside? Maybe he was beyond 70 amas, but within 2,000 amas. And can we say that he was within Tchum? And can't we now prove that being within Tchum is considered being part of the city? So the Gemara says, Zaksi b'tchum umadosam michutz la'ir. Gemara says, no, you can't do that. Because we know, we have a pasuk, a beferish pasuk in the Torah. When discussing the Arei Halavim, it says that when you are outside the city, even though you're within Tchum, you are chutz la'ir. So we have a beferish pasuk that tells us that even though on Shabbos you're allowed to walk up to Tchum, but Tchum does not qualify as being part of the city. It is clearly outside the city. So the only way we can understand the pasuk in Yeshua, because we know he was outside Yericho, and meanwhile the Navi describes him as being in Yericho, so the only way to resolve it is Ibur Shel Ir. He was within the 70 Amos. Lo. So the Gemara says, okay, so within the frame of the door, so if you're in the interior frame of the door, so that is off limits. Meaning when a house is off limits to you via neder, so the interior frame of the door is no good. The exterior frame of the door seems to be fine. So Mesiv Rav Mari. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to go back to Nigei Batim for a second time today. Fantastic. Meaning we opened up today's daf by talking about the Negaim of the house. And so we close on today's daf also going back to the Negaim of the house. Makes sense. Meaning that we're trying to give parameters of what is a house, what's included, what's not included. Second floor. Now we're talking about the frame of the door. So with the interior, the exterior. And so what do we know? So Vayatza Kohen Min Habayis. So here's what the Kohen's going to do. He's going to go inside. He's going to do an inspection. And then he's going to exit the house. Now, Yachol Yelech LeBeis Aviyaskir. Funny Havamina. The Havamina right now is that what he's going to do is that first he's going to head all the way back to his own home, and then he's going to close the door of the house that he just inspected. Now, right? Perfect. How are you going to do that? So the Ron says, with a very long rope. Okay. It's a Havamina. It's a funny Havamina, but okay, that's a Havamina. So Tamalamar El Pesach Habayis. So the Gemara says, okay. No, in other words, all he needs to do is exit the entrance. Right? Yes. Exit the entrance. So, okay, how about standing under the lintel with an eye. So, so you have to leave the house entirely. So what you're going to be doing is you're going to be standing next to the lintel, but in other words, outside, and you're close. Now, even though we just talked about best practice, how do I know that if, let's say, he was standing within the lintel and he closed it, it's still considered musgar? In other words, the house now qualifies as a bias musgar, a quarantined house. Tamalomer v'hiskir sabayis mikomakom. Okay, v'hiskir es habayis. Okay, yeah, but in other words, he's giving it a status. You're correct. In other words, you're looking at the function, but we're talking now about the status. The house now is considered a beis musgar. And the way it becomes a beis musgar is by him standing outside and closing the door. And over here, the implication now is that even if he were standing in the lintel, it would still qualify as a beis musgar. So shani gabi bais, tichsiv min habayis. Achietze, min habayis kulo. So the Gemara says, okay, but the Gemara says it's not such a good raya, because over there in the Pesukim it says min habayis, meaning he has to be totally exited from the house. Meaning it's true that as far as the standard halacha is concerned, we're going to make a distinction between the interior of the threshold, the exterior of the threshold. We'll make such a distinction in general. And when you make a neder on a house, so you can't be on the interior, but you can be on the exterior side of the door frame. That's true. I, when it comes to the Beis Aras, you have to be totally outside. Okay, the Pasuk says, min habayis. Okay, so a distinction can be made between standard language and the Pasuk in the Torah. Okay, good. Adkan. Takes us to the end of today's daf. Let's quickly recap. Let's review. Okay, again, here in the seventh parak of the Masechta, we went over various terms that are used when making a neder. So when a person makes a neder against a bias, so does that include the second floor, yes or no? Machlokes Tanayim. What if he makes a neder on the aliyah? That's only the second floor, not the first floor. And then, in the first part of today's daf, we went through a series of both a brisa and a memra, and whether or not they're going like Rav Meir, they could also be going like the Chachamim. Next, and most of today's daf, you make a neder not to benefit from mita, from a bed. So are you allowed to use the dargish? That's also machlokes between the Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Good, but if I make a neder against the dargish, so that's only on the dargish and not on the bed. Question, what's a dargish? Answer. Answer number one, certainly the most interesting part of today's daf, and that is the good luck bed. In other words, you have an assortment of beds in the house for people to sleep on. Oh, but then we're going to set up a bed for people not to sleep on. Why? Because it's there for good luck. Okay, that's our religion? The answer is yes. right? That's not nichush? The answer is no. Okay, can I explain it any better? Unfortunately. No, I can't. Okay, good. But that obviously is interesting. And whether or not Ula's pshat is a supportable pshat, that was a good part of today's daf. The Gemara does offer a second pshat, and that a dargish is a bed that is strapped together with leather instead of the typical cloth weave. Okay, and the Gemara goes and goes over such a pshat as well. We went over also the old minug, the ancient minug of overturning beds, kfiyas hamita, which was a standard practice that was done in the Beis Havel. The minug is lost. But as long as that was once upon a time a minug, so we discussed, what do I do when I have a canopy bed, when I have the dargish bed? How exactly do we do kfiyas hamita with those unusual types of bed? And finally, when I make a neder against the city, so I can go within tchum of the city, but I can't go up to the Ibor Ha'ir. The Ibor Ha'ir, the 70 amas and change within the city, qualifies as part of the city. How do I know that? Sefer Yehoshua. Yehoshua is in Yericho, and meanwhile not in Yericho. How does that come to be? He was Be'ibur Ha'ir. And finally, when I say I'm not going to go into a house, so I can't go into the interior doorframe, but I could be hanging out at the exterior doorframe of the house. When it comes to Nige Batim, so it sounds like you have to be totally removed from the home. The Gemara says, yeah, but we have a pasuk over there, Min Habayis.